Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care, our focus this morning. We have a lot to talk about, and we have a full house. And Samantha Shukas is here. We'll meet some of your friends who you brought along in just a minute. The Housing and Community Health Program Director for the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care. Samantha, good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
One of the things, well, as we talk about the homeless, and I know this time of year especially, you have people who don't focus as much on the homeless, thinking, let's, you know, it's not like it is in the winter, but this is just, it's hot and sticky and all kinds of weather, and it's just as bad a situation for the homeless in the area.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think during the winter, we worry about people freezing to death outside, and so that's why we really ramp up our services. In the summer, we have less services. It's more safe for people to be outside, but what we do get is a lot more notice as people kind of go out into the city and into areas to do tourism things, to shop, to go to parks. You start to notice the population more.
Yeah.
So even though it's not as big of a threat where they might die outside, we still are really busy fielding calls and trying to come up with ways to get people indoors to help in other aspects of our community.
The website for the Fredericksburg Continuum of Care is fredericksburgcoc.org. There's also a great Facebook page that has all kinds of information. And you usually are the face of the Continuum of Care. But there are other people in the office doing what you do, and that's who you've brought along this morning.
Yes, so we have Erica Dutcher with us. She's our program coordinator. Erica's been with us for almost a year. Erica actually runs our website and our social media, so anything that you see that comes out on there, Erica's behind that.
Nicely done, Erica, because it is very informational, and I'm always, when we do these shows, and I refer to it quite a bit. But if you do want to know what's going on, kind of get a snapshot of the region of what's going on with agencies working with the homeless, fredericksburgcoc.org or the Facebook page is really a great resource.
I appreciate that. I really enjoy showcasing not only the work we're doing, but our network of providers are always up to something really cool around the community. So it's really a delight to get to share that over and over again. So not only does it focus on our work, but it's really showcasing the work of our network.
To get involved in this kind of work, how'd you get interested in this? What's kind of your background in this?
So I actually started working with special needs children about 10 years ago. And then when I moved to the Virginia area, I ended up somehow working at Micah Ministries, because the more conversations I had with Megan about how those two populations really intersect and the trauma-informed care that really has to be at the center of service providing for both of those communities is really similar. And I found that working with our unhoused neighbors is truly a passion of mine. I think anybody would tell you who works in this industry, they're doing it because it's a calling, not because of any other reason, because it can be tough work, but I've just thoroughly enjoyed it. So I did 6 years with Micah Ministries before I got to join Sam over at the COC.
Okay, wow. That is so you do know the area, and you've gotten to know, and we talk often, I mean, I get, and you get to know, I know, a lot of homeless people and families, and try to work things out. And I'm sure at times it's incredibly satisfying, and probably other times can be really frustrating and a challenge.
I would totally agree. I think that's kind of the double-edged sword of working in a small town, is there's a lot more intimacy with the folks who are here, because you're seeing the same folks day by day. So you're definitely forming stronger relationships. So that does mean that when things work out, it is so satisfying, and you really feel the personal win in that. But when things don't go the way that you wanted them to and hoped that they did, it is also feels like a real personal pain and a personal heartbreak as well. So
it must be in over the years, and I attribute it to the work of the Continuum of Care and in Micah and in others. There's been so much more education about the homeless, and you saw it with the Longest Night, that particular event earlier this year, when so many people in the community on a pretty chilly kind of a damp day came out and participated in that. That all had to make you all just feel like what we're doing is working.
It really just made me so proud of our community, because I really demonstrated that, yes, we are a team of just a couple of folks in an office, but our community really cares about this, and we all do unite behind this one cause. We do care about our neighbors next door and how they're doing and what they need to be successful in their life. So it's not only makes me proud of our work on a daily basis, but just truly proud of the community that we're a part of, that we are so supported in our work.
Also here this morning is Alexa Booth, who's an intern from what, VCU, correct?
That's correct, yes.
So how did you end up in Fredericksburg this summer?
I was lucky enough to be placed at the George Washington Regional Commission, which is, of course, where the COC is centered. And, of course, I'm in the Masters of Social Work program. And I have really just found so much to be enlightening in the just few weeks that I've been here. I am new to the area. I'm from Richmond originally, and then I went to school in Northern Virginia, where I got my bachelor's. But I have more of a background in mental health and mental illness. I'm working with adolescents in an acute psychiatric facility. But I feel like that kind of marries a lot of my interests, with the COC, and if a lot of the population that is homeless, deals with really severe mental illness. And of course, we have, partners in the COC that have more of a specialty with that population. But I think I'm really excited to be a part of this, and of course, learn more about this community and ways that I can help. That's kind of just what led me to being here.
Alexa Booth here this morning, Erica Dutcher, and Samantha Shukas, Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
The Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care, our focus this morning. Samantha Shukas here, the Housing and Community Health Program Director, along with Erica Dutcher and Alexa Booth from the Continuum of Care. We are going to spend the rest of the show just about talking about the point in time count. It is coming up July 26th and 27th, Samantha. And this is something that had been done for years during the winter. Last year was the first year, I think, that it had been done in the summer, in July.
Yeah, so we usually in the last week of January do the point in time count. We go out and survey every single person who's experiencing homelessness in our region to really get some information on what they look like.
Get the News Talk 1230 W.
How we can develop our services to match those. It was last year that we started the summer point in time count again. We had done maybe one or two back in the early 2000s, and so it had been quite a while since we had done one. And I think it was really important for us last year, coming out of the pandemic, to really know what the difference was when we had a bunch of services during the winter to shelter people and keep them safe, and then what our population actually looks like in the summer. And so what we actually were able to see even last year was a doubling in our population. So we actually found double the amount of unsheltered folks sleeping outside in the summer than we did in the winter. So we're trying to figure out, is this a trend? Is this something we should expect in the summer versus the winter? So we're going to do it again. So like you said, it's July 27th, and Erica's been helping with coordinating all of that.
So I guess, Erica, you need people to count. You need people to be counters.
Exactly. I mean, this is a pretty large scale volunteer event, because we have a map of, almost like 10 to 12 different team sites that are throughout the region. It's not just in the city. We also have folks go to the Spotsylvania area, the Stafford area, a couple spots in King George and Caroline. So it really is a large scale event. And, you know, to Sam's point, we really do have a variety of seasons in Virginia. So this information is super vital for how we provide services dependent on the season in our community. So it's really a great way to get involved. As I said, our community is really passionate about solving homelessness and forming relationships with those who are experiencing homelessness in our area. So this is a great way to get involved. We've got tons of training. Everybody goes out in a team, and you get your cute little Google map and you go out, and this is really essentially a census. So it's got great demographic information, and it's also got some questions that are about how did you come to this position in your life? So it really provides us just some really essential background information on our community in a different season than we typically achieve.
Yeah, the fact that you can get that information, I would think that in itself is really helpful, because we can sit around here and talk about things in theory, but to actually have some stories and some evidence, I would think would be a big help.
Yeah, so one of the things that we do at the Continuum of Care is we talk a lot about data-driven decisions. We cannot build a system on what Erica and I think is happening, or even what our providers think is happening.
Yeah.
I think one good example of that is a couple of years ago, we had someone come and say, we have to do something about the homeless pregnant women. There's so many homeless pregnant women. In reality, when we looked at the data to figure out, do we actually need a program for homeless pregnant women? It was 3 in 1 week. It felt like a lot when you
start
seeing them. But other than that, it wasn't a huge onslaught of people who were pregnant and then becoming unsheltered. So if we had changed our entire system on something that we thought we saw or felt was a big deal, then it would change the entire directory and actually wouldn't meet the needs of the people in our community. I think where you see the success in that philosophy to use data-driven decisions is the point in time count also helps us know how we do over time. So it's those numbers that help me tell you that, you know, homelessness hasn't increased in the last 10 years. That we hover right around the same amount and always have. And so even with us being one of the highest population growing areas, we're not seeing a ton of people falling into homelessness. So that's on our services and our providers of doing a good job for maintaining. And then this helps us really know how to get the last little bit of people who need some housing stability.
And I know we talk so much over the pandemic, you were able to talk numbers and things, and it was because of this count. And at that time, you were doing it in the winter, but you are able to make some assumptions, and like you say, go forward with programs or not go forward with programs based on these counts. So it is important.
Yeah, and we have built collaborations on these numbers. We ask about past foster care involvement. So that we can figure out how much of a collaboration we need to have with departments of social services to target those aging out of foster care to make sure that they have housing once they're on their own. We ask a lot about health information. So we have a really strong partnership with the hospital and with area providers for health care. It was the impetus for MICA even opening their Health Bridge program and having doctors come to the day center when people weren't getting their health care. And that's because we, for years, got the answer that when you need to see a doctor, where do you go? And the answer was nowhere. So we offer that service now. And so without that information, it's really hard for us to do that. But without volunteers, it's also really hard for us to get those numbers.
So like you said, Erica, people are trained. You don't go out alone. And you need people right now.
Yeah, I mean, we do everything we can to set our volunteers up for success. I can tell you with confidence that many of our volunteers are repeat volunteers because they really enjoyed the experience. I have a team of women who do the Stafford map together every year, and they don't spend time together in between the point in time count, but they are buddies for the point in time count, and they've done it together for probably 5 years now.
Yeah.
So not only is it a really great experience to go and feel like you're doing something that impacts how our community addresses homelessness, it's also just a great experience to, with your buddy, to have the appropriate training. You know, we go through the survey together. It's really individualized. I make sure I answer anybody's questions. You have your own Google map that has really explicit directions about the sites you need to be visiting. And we have, you know, debriefs at the end of every session. And we also do a really complex volunteer survey at the end. So we're doing everything we can to set our volunteers up for success. And I think the proof in that is how many folks come and do it every single year. But the fact that we're doing this during the summer is just different than what our community is used to. So that's why I am seeking more of those volunteers who are willing to do the summer with us.
And I think what's interesting about the point time count, I think it's the most flexible volunteer off for, that you're going to find. It is what time slot works for you. So if you're an early morning person, you want to come out with us at 6 o'clock in the morning, then we have a spot for you. If you can't do it till after work and you want to come to dinners at 7, then we have a spot for you. And you can do it for as long as you want. Doesn't have to be an all day volunteer. Can be just for a couple hours. We do usually seek most of our volunteers for our encampment and like outdoor locations. If that's not for you and that's not where you feel comfortable, we also have service site locations, right? So it's really flexible,
right?
For how you want to kind of dip your toes in, or if you want to dive in, or however you want to do it. I think in particular, what I've always seen, and I know that you repost pictures from Matt Kelly every year about kind of, but it gives you this new view of our city and our community that you don't often see. And so if you want to experience that firsthand, the other thing that I often say is it's a great and structured way to practice talking to people who are homeless. One of the most frustrating things, I think, for people who are homeless is being ignored. Most people think you're going to ask them for money, so they keep walking. They never say hi. And so it's a great way to even practice your social skills with people who are experiencing a different situation than you in a really structured way with questions and an order and all sorts of
things. I never thought of it that is, I mean, we see people along the, especially in the downtown area, all the time, and a lot of times it's just easier not to say anything. This does help you with that.
Well, and to that point, I mean, if you are, let's say you don't live in the downtown area, you live over in Spotsylvania, and you see the exact same panhandlers at that intersection every single day on your drive home.
Yep.
This gives you the opportunity. This is my area. This is my neighborhood. I see this individual every day. Now I have a way to have a structured conversation with them and learn about their story. That is a special way to interact with your community.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Samantha said, you're getting to see areas and getting to see parts of the area that you generally don't see. And it can sometimes be jarring to see people are living like this, and it's close to where we all are.
It truly is a different perspective of your own backyard, of your own neighborhood. As I said, we are not just in downtown. We are out in Spotsy. We're out in Massaponics. So if there's a different neighborhood you're more comfortable with, we can send you there too.
And the fact that you're giving those as areas, I didn't realize. I never realized that there were homeless people in that area.
I mean, and that's the beauty of the point in time count as well, is not only seeing the trends in the individuals and their demographics, but the trends in our region.
Yeah.
Where are we seeing an increase in folks in our region? Stafford and Spotsylvania are seeing an increase.
Yeah, we just came out with our point in time count from January. Stafford had the most, Spotsylvania had the most unsheltered folks in our region. So not even Fredericksburg City, which I think most people think that that's the case because you can see them more visually.
Right.
In our more rural areas you're going to see them in different situations, mm-hmm. right? Maybe they won't be sleeping on park benches because there aren't any or whatever it is. But Spotsylvania in particular had the most unsheltered folks for the first time. And so I think it's been really eye-opening even for the county to say, well, how do we address this when before they didn't think that they needed to?
No, there's no thing. That it shows how important this is, and that really is an eye opener and a headline that if that's happening and this is becoming an issue for the counties now.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
that they
honestly,
have to look
that's,
at.
That's pretty insightful for me because that's where I recently relocated to, is the Spotsylvania area, and as someone new to the area, I want to know the population that I'm working with and that's around me. So I think, you know, being a volunteer in the point of time count for me the first time this year will really help me learn more about the population and interact, of course, like you said, in a more structured way. And I think that's, again, you know, just to emphasize what Erica and Sam have already said, this is a way to get to know this population that is often, you know, overlooked or, you know, you feel uncomfortable seeing or talking to. But really, they're just people who need services. And this is a way to help them in any way you can.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. We'll talk about how you can sign up for this and talk more about the point in time count with Alexa Booth, Erica Dutcher, and Samantha Shukas, FredericksburgCOC.org, the website. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. The Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care, our focus, the point in time count, takes place July 26th and 27th, and there are needs for volunteers. Erica Dutcher is coordinating a lot of this with the point in time count. So if I'm interested, Erica, in being a volunteer, what do I need to know? How can I sign up?
So there's a pretty easy sign-up form on our website. I've also consistently posted on our Facebook it's just an easy Google form. You just fill that out. Let me know what your preferences are. And then we'll have three opportunities for a virtual volunteer training where I'll be reviewing how you go about doing the survey, where you're going to go, what the survey entails, and we'll review the maps. That way, if you have any questions about your sites, we can go over that together. So it's very easy to sign up, and as Sam was saying, you can have time constraints, you can have location constraints. We will meet your needs.
And the more the better. The more volunteers, 100%. The more you're able to do.
Exactly. I mean, I really do have a pretty extensive map. So the more volunteers, the better, because I'd like to not just have teams of two. I'd like teams of three and teams of four.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes a huge difference to have a group of folks go together, not only for the confidence of the folks surveying, but for the people who they are surveying. It feels better and more official to have people who are coming as a team than just a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah, right. Well, and the fact that, Alexa, you mentioned that Alexa Booth is an intern with the George Washington Regional Commission this summer, and the fact that you're new to the area and you're doing it, it's not like you have to be someone that's been in the area for 10 or 15 years, you can be someone new that's come in and just wants to know more about the area.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, as Erica mentioned, I mean, we have extensive training, so I don't feel scared at all because, you know, again, we have the buddy system. You'll be extensively trained on which questions to ask, you know, and where you need to go. So it's nothing, you know, it doesn't feel daunting at all. It's really just an exciting opportunity to learn more about the area and the population that we serve.
And I think even though you don't have to be in the area for 15 years, I think what Erica has mentioned earlier is we have volunteers who come back every year. There are team leads. So you always have someone who's mm-hmm. done this year after year after year to fall back on if you ever need help when you're out there in the field. So I think that's really great, is being able to have this resource and knowledge with you so that you can feel secure and supported in your first time volunteering.
Samantha Shukas is the Housing and Community Health Program Director with the Continuum of Care and the George Washington Regional Commission. Everybody's different, but when you ask people some of these questions, do they open up and tell you, or can they be real helpful?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things that we go over in our training is that our questions are usually more uncomfortable for you to ask than for them to get.
Interesting.
Because our questions can be personal, right? We're asking about whether or not you abuse alcohol, or you use drugs, or you have HIV, or you've ever been in foster care, right? So we're opening up a door. They also, those who are taking the survey, have no problem telling you, I don't want to answer that. And that's always an option. So one of the biggest things is we talk about in training is the script before you even start an interview. So say completely confidential, skip anything you don't want to, end it at any time, right? And I think that's most surveys. But I think in particular, people who are receiving a service sometimes feel pushed into a corner to answer everything. And so really giving them that choice and reinforcing that autonomy about this is their story and it's up to them about what they want to share. Helping them understand that whatever they do share helps us in the long run provide services to the population, but also still knowing that it's a sensitive subject at times. But yeah, I think I've gone anywhere from 5 minutes to yes and no questions to someone who needed to give me the entire history of every question, right? So I think it just depends on the person. I think it goes back to being ignored most of the time. Now they finally have a body and someone who wants to talk to them and know about them and cares about them and is asking them questions, that they're going to take advantage of that for some folks, right? So I think it's by the person about what you end up getting. What I also love about our survey is we at the end of our survey always have one final question that says, is there anything else you want to tell me about your situation? And so I've asked you all the questions that I want to know. Is there anything else that you want to tell me? And so I think that's where we end up getting the most interesting responses, and we really get that qualitative data about what people need. I've heard everything from, if I just had a bike, I could actually get a job, right? And that's not a question I'm going to ask you. And so we've like started to pinpoint some resources that keep coming up. And it's a great opportunity. We also equip all of our volunteers with resource lists and guides, so that if something does come up, they can help guide them in a direction to get that need met, so that it's not, I need a bike, and then you just let it drop and say, okay, I wrote that down. But how do you actually take it to the next step to say, how can I connect you to something?
That's interesting, because just even that particular, I know in talking to some of the homeless providers in the area, that has come up of where they're now giving bikes to some that some people are able to get to a job by having something like that. So that's again that shows what this, how important this is. This is more than just numbers and a census. It's giving you some background.
And really, that qualitative data is how we learn who is in our community and what their needs specifically are. And a lot of times, the trends can be about the qualitative data. You know, we've been seeing an increase in the LGBTQ community as people experiencing homelessness in this community.
Yeah.
We're seeing an increase in those who would be considered seniors as homeless in our community. And so that qualitative data of how did you get here? Tell me your story is really important for helping us understand the context behind these data trends that we're seeing. So it's really been exciting information, and especially what I'm really looking forward to, a summer point in time count we've gotten last year. I want to see, we've been seeing the trends in our winter. What are the trends in our summer?
Summer, sure, yeah. Well, and by doing it in the summer, it always seems to be the coldest nights and days of the year when you do it in January.
It really is. It's actually a completely different experience going out in the summer. We always say, look for
the hottest day.
It is always so stinking hot. We always say, you know, wear socks so you don't get any bugs. You watch where you're stepping. We're looking out for snakes. But I can also say that, you know, especially Sam and I personally have actually volunteered in the point in time count. So we've gone to a lot of these sites ourselves. So we're not sending you somewhere that, oh, somebody told me to go investigate this place. We've visited these encampments, so we know exactly what we're telling you to look for. We know exactly the vegetation or the wildlife you might be experiencing. So we definitely want folks to dress appropriately.
So interesting, because I remember years ago doing this, in doing stories and in talking about the point in time count, and it always was based in the downtown, and the fact this shows what's happening to the region, that you're now, it's not a downtown, just a downtown
thing.
Yeah,
it's definitely not. And I also think you start to meet people that you wouldn't usually interact with. John Gerlach has actually volunteered with us, who's from city council.
Yeah.
You could be on a team with John Gerlach and talk to him in between. We've also had, you know, other people from regions, Spotsylvania schools volunteers with us every year and helps us out. Michelle Swisher goes out on a team. We have departments of social services. Christian, who was in here before with me as a person with lived experience, goes out and volunteers. So you actually end up meeting a ton of people that you didn't think, but all for the common goal of trying to get these numbers, right? So I think it's really interesting to make it a regional effort, but also to be able to spread your social circle regionally as well.
And those are all people that they can play an, they can have an impact in this whole issue, and even they see the importance of volunteering and going out there and seeing things firsthand.
Yeah, I think Matt Kelly is probably our longest running point in time. Boy,
he's been doing it for a long time.
He probably started the point in time
at
this point. But he's always one. He doesn't even sign up at this point. I just email him the day and he shows up. And so those are the kind of volunteers I think is wonderful. We actually paired him with a person who was their first time volunteering. And the partner was so nervous going out. He had me go over the entire training again before he would go out. And finally, Matt's like, I got you. Let's just go. So I think it's really wonderful to have the support and match the years and years and years of experience with someone who's brand new into this work, and to share that passion, to share that knowledge, to share that insight is really, you know, our supplemental benefit of a point in time count.
Erica, as somebody who's been involved in this for a while, to go on a point in time count and to really encounter and see, I've only seen Matt's pictures, but to see it firsthand has to be at least the first few times.
It's pretty eye-opening.
Yeah.
It's pretty eye-opening for folks in our community. And I think something that we emphasize a lot in our training is you are entering folks' homes. If someone came to your house, a complete stranger, to ask you 20 personal questions, how would you want to be approached? So we really emphasize respect. We really emphasize making folks aware of your presence, not entering tents or shaking tents, because you wouldn't want folks just entering your homes or shaking on your house. So we give you all of the tips and tricks on how to do this really appropriately and respectfully. But I will say it's definitely a little bit shocking for folks on their first time to go and really witness how folks are living on a day-to-day basis in some pretty extreme weather conditions that Virginia has. And not only how they're living, but where are their clothing? Where is their food? Do they have animals on site with them? Where is their modes of transportation? How are they getting in and out of their campsite? It's really just kind of fascinating information for folks. And I think it gives people a real inside look into how people are living in our world.
Alexa, in your case, as an intern, I mean, so often interns, you can be in a situation and you don't do much. You're really getting to, I mean, you're going to really have some stories to take back to VCU.
Yeah, that's correct. I think, you know, Sam has really bent on a hands-on approach, which I really appreciate. It's pretty rare that, you know, an intern such as myself gets to be so integral in processes in the community, and I'm so grateful for that. Like, as both of them said, you know, not only am I going to meet the people, yeah, but just learning about how the homeless population just, yeah, like, lives on a day-to-day basis. I'm never, it's something you don't think about, on a, you know, when you're safe in your home, you know, and you're, and you have your comforts. So it's really important to learn those things. And so, yeah, it's really something that I'm very grateful for, as an intern, to really gain firsthand and hands-on knowledge.
And I think what's really interesting for Alexa is I think even most people who work in homeless services don't see this side of homelessness, right? So they expect people to come into their offices, to come to services, to come ask for help, and they actually do not know what their place of residence looks like after they leave the office. So I think it's another side for even social workers in general, to be able to see it in a different way. I think most people in Alexa's cohort are doing clinical things in offices and things like that. It's a little bit different to do a home visit, even more different when they don't even have a home to visit. And so Alexa, I think, is getting a whole new view for even her social work education.
Yes, that's a really great insight. Yeah, because I'm, you know, you think social workers, you have people in offices, in comfort, and not really knowing their clients or the people they're serving. So that's really invaluable information.
July 26th and 27th is the point in time count, the July point in time count in the region. FredericksburgCOC.org to sign up. We'll wrap this up when we come back and talk about that. Also, we'll talk about backpacks. There's a chance for you to donate backpacks, and we'll talk again about how you can volunteer. Samantha Shukas, Erica Dutcher, and Alexa Booth from the Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care here. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
The Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care, our focus this morning with Samantha Shukas, Erica Dutcher, and Alexa Booth. The point in time count, July 26th and 27th, you are needed to volunteer. You can do that, FredericksburgCOC.org. Erica is kind of organizing and the person putting all this together. Also, people can get involved by donating backpacks.
That's correct. So obviously, if we are going to come and survey folks with a 20-question survey, we want to provide them some incentives as some gratitude for spending their time with us and sharing their story with us. So we are super lucky that the Fredericksburg Regional Food Bank has been holding on to some food products for us to put with our incentives. We've also had some local churches donate some hygiene products, but what we really need are backpacks to hold all of these goodies. The biggest thing that folks experiencing homelessness enjoy receiving and is useful for them to receive is a backpack, because they're carrying all their important things with them at all times. So if you go on our Facebook, you can see that we have an Amazon wish list that has a lot of really easy, convenient backpacks to purchase that way, and then they just get sent directly to me. But you can also just buy whatever backpacks you want to, or little knapsacks, and bring them over to us at the George Washington Regional Commission, where my office is at 406 Princess Anne Street. I would love to receive some more incentives to make this a really worthwhile experience for those who complete the surveys for us.
And your office is right over by the train station, if you're wondering where to do that. But yeah, so if you can do a backpack, that's terrific. Exactly. If you can volunteer, and you've described it really well this morning, but you provide all kinds of training, and it's not as though you just say, go there and get some information. It's all worked out.
100%. And you will always have all of our contact information while you're out on the count. So you can always shoot me a text, give me a call if you have questions about what you're experiencing, if you're wondering whether or not you should go into a site, if you're having difficulty finding it, anything like that. We are absolutely here for you when you're doing the count.
Samantha Shukas, this is really important information, as we've talked about. This provides a lot of not only numbers, but just background in learning some things about what has happened to some of these people.
Yeah, I think the point in time count is really good at getting us all the information and data that we need, but it also brings about a new group of people who's interested in this work. Our hope is that you volunteer and then you want to keep volunteering. We have lots of committees and ways to be involved. Those are also available on our website. If you go under Get Involved, you'll see all the ways that you can do that. We have anything from people with lived experience who want to share their story and plan what homeless services look like for our region, to someone who's just interested in this work and wants to be a part of making funding decisions or planning how services look or be a part of our board. So there's lots of ways to get involved, and we really hope, you know, the point in time count is a way for you to become attached to us.
And we should mention that whether it's homeless, the homeless issues that we have talked about, the George Washington Regional Commission involved in so many areas in this region with transportation and other things. You all do good work.
Have a lot of different programs, and so there's always some way to get you involved regionally, even if you don't want to pick one locality to love. We have lots of ways to love them all. So.
Exactly.
I think the beautiful thing is that all of our meetings are offered to the public via our website, also via George Washington Regional Commission's website. So even if you just want to tune in virtually so you can kind of get a feel for our work, There's always an opportunity to do that too.
Alexa, what a fun summer. It sounds like a busy summer for you with this and other things.
Yeah, I think this is probably the most exciting experience I've had in my program so far. It's not something that you normally get. I'm really grateful to Sam and Erica, great mentors, and, you know, allowing me to really see what it's really like to work in this field and work with this often invisible population.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you all for what you do and for coming in and talking about this. Again, it is the point in time count, July 26th and 27th. And if you want more information, fredericksburgcoc.org. And Erica Dutcher, I know you would like to have many more volunteers for this.
Absolutely. Please, please, please sign up. And if you have questions, holler at me. I'm absolutely available.
Erica Dutcher, Alexa Booth, and Samantha Shukas, Fredericksburg Regional Continuum of Care. Thank you all, and we will talk soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.